So we started last Sunday. We took a quick look at God's apparent silence during 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. And we saw that even though God was silent regarding giving man words from his heart and writing them down as he did before, He was still active, and we saw that he was very active in preparing for the event that was to transpire at the beginning of the New Testament. And this is something we're going to look today, how all the preparation of those 400 years of silence then started to build up to the coming of God becoming man. And so God sends, first of all, his angels and proclaim the good news to the people of Israel. And we're going to be looking at angels today in a little more detail than normal. God broke the silence that he had for 400 years in speaking to man, where he recorded it for us, for our benefit. And the first appearance of a heavenly host coming down was the angel Gabriel. And he came, first of all, to a priest named Zacharias. Zacharias was, you know, the temple worship had been restored after some different incidents. You know, we talk about the Maccabeans getting back the temple after it was desecrated, and getting back and reestablishing worship. And so they were still carrying out the duties of the temple, but people were becoming kind of hopeless. And then at the appointed time, Zacharias was ministering. And in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5, the scripture says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense." 400 plus years of silence from heaven to earth. It would have been recorded, but nothing was recorded until this particular point. And Luke is the one that gets it down with pen and ink. And he says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense." We're talking about the incense being raised to the Lord day and night. And it was supposed to happen in the temple as well. And so here is Zacharias offering incense before the Lord, which means praise unto him. And then the angel breaks forth in a prophetic word from the Lord to Zacharias. Well, they were waiting for a long time, and like we talked the last time, people were beginning to get hopeless, and they knew that the only thing that would change their ways was for Messiah to show up. And Zacharias gets a word that they, in their old age, by the way, you know, it's interesting that the word says that they were advanced in years. But a priest could not minister any more than 50 or 50-something years, so some of us are very advanced in years. But we won't go there today, thank God. So the angel proclaims, gives him a prophetic word, and Zacharias is skeptical. And boy, did he suffer for it. You know, he doubted. He, you know, like you and I, God tells them something great, and they say, how can this be? You know, we're old. And the angel says, I am Gabriel who stands before the presence of God. And you're not going to talk until these things are fulfilled. And boy, so he had to wait for some time, at least 9 months, until John the Baptist was born. And then his mouth was open when that happened. But after 400 years of silence from heaven to earth, then the angel Gabriel shows up and gives Zacharias good news. And then that's the first appearance of an angel in the New Testament. And then 6 months after that, that same angel, Gabriel, appeared to Mary. And Matthew records, that's in Luke. I knew that was funny. In Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 26, it reads, now in the sixth month after the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And Mary, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Again, within 6 months of Zacharias' event, then Mary receives word from the same angel. God sends Gabriel a second time within 6 months. And then, probably less than a few months afterwards, another angel appears to Joseph in a dream. And that's recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Starting there, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So probably a few months after the angel Gabriel gave Mary the news about her being chosen to conceive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, imagine after 2 months the belly started showing a little bit, and Joseph knew that something was not normal here. And he didn't want to embarrass Mary, but he felt that she had been unfaithful to him, and so he was going to get rid of her quietly so that she would not be stoned to death or something like that. And while he pondered about these things, an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph and says, hey, this is of God. You go ahead, marry her, and you're going to name the son, that the child that will be born of her, you will name him Jesus. And so Joseph, being a righteous man and knowing that this is a visitation of God through an angel, recognized. So we got Zacharias getting a visitation, Mary getting a visitation, now Joseph getting a visitation. And then 9 months after Gabriel appeared to Mary, angels appeared to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So not only does a single angel speak to the shepherds, but then a multitude of the heavenly host of angels show up on earth, and they say this thing. I believe they sang. You know, it doesn't say that they sang, but I believe they sang. So, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So, all of a sudden, within a year, God has shown up 4 different times through angels speaking to men. And then, within 2 more years, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream right after the wise men from the east left, warning Joseph about the dangers to Jesus from Herod. And so in Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 13, it talks about Herod. You know, he wanted to trick the magi, the wise men that came from the east. And he wanted them to tell him where that the Savior was going to be born so he could kill him. Listen, Herod was a pretty wicked man. In fact, he killed his own children so that they would not inherit the kingdom after them. He was a wicked man. So he didn't think twice about trying to get Jesus killed as well, so that he would stay supreme. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, when they, that's the Magi, the 3 wise men, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 3 times. 2 times already, or 3. Joseph sees an angel in a dream. You know, we all would like to experience, you know, an angel appearance right when we are fully awake. And yet, Joseph didn't get that privilege. We'll see that later on, an angel appears again. And so, you know, if we're going to take a nap, before you take the nap, you ask God, you know, show himself to you in an angelic visitation in your dream. That counts too. That works. That would work for me. I haven't had one yet, but I'd like to have one. So, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, rise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He had to get going because Herod was bent on killing Jesus because he didn't want no Messiah to take his place. So this is about, you know, from Zacharias to Jesus' birth, it's around, I'd say, 9 and 6, that's a year and a half. And then when the Magi came, you know, it doesn't say the babe, it said the young child. So he's probably 1 or 2 years of age. And the reason I say about 2 is because Herod sent out to kill all the babies from 2 years old and down. So a maximum of 2 years that Jesus had been born from when the Magi heard about, you know, saw the star and all of this. So 2, almost 3.5 years have gone by. And there have been 5 visitation of angels. And then after Joseph takes Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt, a few years later, an angel again appears to Joseph in a dream in Egypt. And this is the 3rd visitation of angelic appearance to Joseph. In Matthew 2:19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought your young child, the young child's life, are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. So during this 5 or 6 years, starting with the appearance of an angel to Zacharias, God lets his voice be heard on earth again after a long period of 400 plus years of seemingly silent aspect from God to men. But then, you know, right after these 5 or 6 years where 5 or 6 different appearances of angelic visitation comes in, nothing more is heard about the angels until after Jesus was tempted by Satan. So we got 5 or 6 years from Zacharias, and then Jesus began his ministry being 30 years old. So that brings it to about 24 years that nothing really happened angelic-wise, angelic appearances. So something really and truly miraculous happened when Jesus took on the human form as a baby boy. The presence of angels serves as confirmation to the miraculous nature of Jesus' conception, birth, and the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a gap between heaven and earth. And even throughout the Old Testament, some aspects are mentioned that angels are seen, but they don't seem to connect really strongly with earth because there was some kind of a gap. But as Jesus takes human form as a baby, angels begin to foretell that that gap is about to be abolished through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The host of heaven now is not only seen by men, but now they are being heard as they break forth in singing on earth for the first time in front of the shepherds. They proclaim that God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is because heaven and earth is about to be ruled by a single Lord and King. and that is the Lord and King Jesus Christ. So, what is the purpose of all of this angelic visitation? And even today, you know, what do we have to do with angels? Well, I want to start saying a few things because the background I come from, there's a lot of worship of angels. And in fact, you know, when I was taught as a little boy was that, you know, some people, men and women, can become angels, you know. No human can become an angel, according to the word. Some people think that good people become angels when they die. Well, that's a nice wish, but that's not biblical truth. So it may sound nice, but there's no such thing in the words. Angels, they do the Lord's bidding. In Psalm 103, verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength." Angels are strong. You know, in the Old Testament, it says that the angel of the Lord in one day killed 100,000 of the Syrian army. One angel. It was a great display of their strength. So, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Now, well, we'll get into that in a minute. So, angels do the Lord's bidding. Angels obey the commands of the Lord. They rejoice when people are born again. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus himself says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Listen, there's a great celebration every time a person is born again somewhere in the world. I imagine there's rejoicing all the time. So that is not a quiet place. So if you think that being in the presence of God is, you have to be quiet, well, you know, I think we're quiet when we know something's wrong with us. But once that's done away with, then we can rejoice. And I hope we'll rejoice in more than we seem to do. So there's rejoicing going on. Angels are supposed to be praising God. Some seem to do just that. Some of the angels, according to Scripture, seem to just praise God continually in heaven. That's their duty. But we know that all angels are able to, and they do praise God. So angels are meant to minister to those who inherit salvation. So they are ministers sent by God to minister to those of us that have received Jesus as our personal Savior. Whether we recognize them or not, they are active in our lives. And I tell you one more thing that I didn't write. You know, Jesus talked about the little children, and he talks about their angel. So we know that little children, there are at least one angel appointed to every child. Well, just because we grow up doesn't mean that the angel has to go. He's probably hanging around us. And he's probably defending us. You know, I'm not saying that Scripture says that, but it doesn't say the opposite either. So I like to think that I have what the world tends to call a guardian angel. There's an angel assigned to me when I was little, and I think he's still here. So you can know that God is concerned enough to give you someone that watches over you all the time. Not that he needs that, you know. That's for our benefit, not for his. Oh, angels guard the righteous. In Psalm 91, and we encourage you to memorize Psalm 91 and repeat it and declare it over you, over your house, over your children. The whole psalm. Memorize it and have it. But verse 11 of Psalm 91 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." So there you got it. That guardian angel is still with you. He'll keep you in all your ways. And if you cooperate with him, he'll bring you blessings, I'm sure. Angels carry the righteous to heaven when they die. You remember that the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus? That was a real story. Jesus used a real name, Lazarus. Not just invented some tale. This was a real thing. And it says that the angels took Lazarus up to heaven. And then it says, and the rich one was buried, you know. Maybe it was the other kind of angels that took him down. Don't say that, but I'm just saying. So, angels carry the righteous to heaven. You know, probably there's a big gap between here and heaven, so the angels don't want us to get lost on our trip. So, they carry us. Hallelujah. Angels will come back with Jesus at his second coming. In fact, this is going to be a great show. I am sure. I'm looking forward to it. There are only three angels that were mentioned by name. Michael, the archangel. Gabriel. Now, archangel are mentioned. Michael is specifically identified as an archangel. Gabriel showed up a few times for special news. He's not mentioned as an archangel, but he certainly was something special in the hierarchy of angelic beings. So a lot of the people that study the word, they seem to think that Gabriel and Michael are both archangels. And then there was one angel that bailed out. He was called Lucifer. He was called by name. He was a created being, an angelic being. And he rebelled against God. And he stopped being an angel, and he became the devil himself. And so there's only three angels that got have got names that the Bible identifies. I know I read a lot of stuff on, you know, online about, you know, study of angels, and there's names for this angel and name for that angel. That's not biblical. In fact, there are three types of special angels. There are cherubim, seraphim, and archangels. Those are the three types of angels that are mentioned among the general group of angels. The cherubim are associated with the presence of God and a protector of holy places. If you remember that cherubim were placed at the entrance of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were kicked out of their place up in heaven. And so they, cherubim were also placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant, representing, and remember, the Ark of the Covenant that God told Moses to build was a picture of what is in heaven. So if on earth the throne of God was, there were cherubim around the throne of God, the real thing also had cherubim in heaven. So, associated with the presence of God. Now, seraphim seem to be also in proximity to the throne of God only. And they're mentioned just one time, I believe. And so they're very closely associated with the presence of God. They don't seem to do any other thing except being around the presence of God. Archangels seem to be angelic leaders, and they are messengers that speak to and protect the righteous on earth and give messages and, you know, do warfare and all kinds of stuff. So from this we see that angels are messengers. God spoke through them to announce the coming of Jesus and also the coming of his forerunner, John the Baptist. And one other thing that I want to bring in, we are not supposed to worship angels. And so I know that angel worship, again, I was brought up into that. That is not of God. And that's really an abomination unto God, because the only one that can be worshipped and should be worshipped and must be worshipped is God himself. Nothing else. And so even the angels themselves, when they showed up and people wanted to worship them, it says, don't worship me, worship God. You know, they were very specific in not taking worship. Which brings the point. You go in the Old Testament and you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord. And it seems like a few of those angel of the Lords that appeared seem to accept worship. Well, you know, scholars say that that is a manifestation, not really an angel, that is the pre-incarnate Jesus himself. And so that's why, even though the scripture translated into angel, that may be the Lord Jesus before he came and got a body. So, but angels, they will themselves will tell you, don't worship me, worship God. Another thing, we have not given authority to command or tell the angels what to do. That's not in our job description. And I know that even I have heard very spiritually, what seems to be spiritually advanced people, knowledgeable of the word, getting too close to commanding angels. We have not been given that authority. You ask God, and don't tell God to send an angel. You know, God can take care of his business however he wishes. He doesn't need your instructions of how to do things. In fact, he wants to do them how he wants them to do. So don't get presumptuous and overstep your bounds, because then you can quench actually what God wants to do. So don't worship angels. Don't command them to do anything. Just ask God. We are not to pray to angels or to people, whether alive or dead. We are to pray only to the Lord, to God. In fact, if you look at the pattern in Scripture, we are to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, it's okay to ask Jesus. It's okay to ask the Holy Spirit, because they are God. All right? Good. So angels do show up unexpectedly, so the word tells us to be hospitable with strangers and be alert. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, he says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. What does that imply? Angels are all around us. I mean, if I got an angel and you are saved, you got an angel, there's a bunch of angels out here. And, you know, it's not that we're going to go after angels like more than we do after God. But if we cooperate with them, boy, we'll see great things. And so we want to stay faithful to God, and then whatever God tells his angels, we just welcome it, receive it, and enjoy. And since they can show up among us at any time, you know, they may show up physically today at the time of baptism that is about to happen. You know, they are already watching. They know exactly what's going to happen. Even though we may not see them, they are, and they will be there. So this thing about angels, it is glorious to know that they're active in our lives. And though they don't take command from us, God has got the best interest for you and me at his heart. And so they cooperate. They do great things. They're mighty. They're awesome. You know, if you see one, they may not show up wings. You know, that's the cherubim. They got wings, but I don't know the ones that show up down here on earth. I don't know if they have wings or not. Apparently they don't. They show up a few times in the book of Acts to release Peter out of jail, and he didn't seem to describe some wings on them. But that's okay. We take them as they come. We don't strive after them, but we cooperate with them because they are proclaimers of the good news. And so we're going to close for today, and next time we'll look at another subject about the time of Advent. Father, I just thank you for, Father, bringing forth angelic beings, Lord, to earth. For, Lord, we know that earth will become the next heaven. Lord, you will bring heaven to earth when you establish your kingdom forever here on earth. And I'm looking forward to seeing the heavenly host of angels working and praising you among us. Lord, together with us, we thank you, Father, that we are able to enjoy the benefits of their work in our midst. And as we stay faithful to you, Father, help us to continue looking after the things that are to happen soon. Lord, you have kept somewhat quiet as far as prophetic words being given recently. But Father, you have not recorded those necessarily, but they are happening. And Lord, it brings us to another climax that is coming up soon, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This time to rule and to reign in righteousness, in peace. Lord, we're looking forward to that. I pray, Lord, that everyone here has been invited and they have accepted the invitation as they have called Jesus their Lord and Savior. And Father, we just rejoice at this time that we celebrate the coming of God made flesh to dwell among us. And Father, may this Christmas time be one significant time, Father, that we attain even higher understanding of what you did for us. We thank you. We bless you. I bless your people. And I thank you, Father, for the activities that are about to happen in this baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I just want, after the baptism, the teachers and the help of Children's Church, you know, you have a meeting today. It's very important. Lunch is provided, all right? So if you're going to get hungry and all, know that lunch is going to be ready for you. So don't worry about lunch. Just come from the baptism and then come back for the meeting, okay? All right.